Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today, and we have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is going to help us find the answers in our Bible, and Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bible ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get it so we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Today's question is from Emmanuel. Emmanuel sent us this question, and it's a pretty good one. He's thinking about heaven. So, Micah, what is Emmanuel's question?
Is there going to be grape juice and bread in heaven?
Emmanuel, that's a great question. I'm guessing that you like grape juice and bread. I do too. Almost any kind of bread, and I love fresh grape juice. I had a friend in Michigan who had grapevines growing in their yard, and they gave us a jar of fresh squeezed grape juice. It was amazing.
And do you remember that time when someone brought grape juice from, where was it? France?
I do remember that.
Remember how we went over to their house and we were sitting there and they had this grape juice?
It was
incredible.
It was amazing grape juice.
It was amazing grape juice.
It was very sweet and tart and just had this kind of a zing.
Yeah, I couldn't stop drinking it. Yeah. So, yeah, it was way better than like Welch's grape juice. I mean, it's good, but this was like amazing grape juice.
Yeah. So, in order to answer this question, we need to look at two different verses.
Ooh, right. Two of them.
Yep. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 26. And verse 29.
Okay, so Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. We're going to look that up. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, and then chapter 26, those are the big numbers, and verse 29. If you need more time, just press pause. When you're ready, press play again. Aiden, can you read Matthew chapter 26, verse 29 for us?
But I say to you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
So here, Jesus said that he would not drink grape juice, essentially, with them again until he drank it new with them in his Father's kingdom. So will there be grape juice in heaven? Yes, and Jesus is going to drink grape juice with us.
Oh, that's pretty neat. So he's waiting to have the grape juice until we get to heaven.
That's right.
Wow, pretty cool.
And the second verse is in John chapter 6 and verse 31.
All right, so John, so we were in Matthew. We're going to go a few books over, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 6, and what was the verse?
Verse 31.
31. Okay, John chapter 6, verse 31. If you can't look at it right now, actually open your Bibles and look. Maybe write it down so that you can look at these verses a little later. John chapter 6, verse 31. Here's what it says.
Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it was written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.
So here, Jesus is referring back to when God sent manna for the Israelites to eat in the desert. They went out every morning and there was this flaky white substance. They didn't know what it was. And so they called it manna, which means like, what is it?
Yeah, that's kind of like Eureka. It means I found it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, well, how do you say, wow, I found it. Eureka.
That's right.
What it means. Yeah. So manna is like, what is it?
What is it? Well, the Bible tells us what it was. It was bread from heaven.
Ooh.
So will there be bread in heaven?
Well, God sent bread
from heaven. So there had to be bread in
heaven. Makes sense.
Yep.
Cool.
So I hope that answers your question. I love bread. I love grape juice. And I'm looking forward to eating and drinking both of them in heaven.
Yeah. And that bread, the manna, it tasted like wafers with honey, like sweet. And I have a sweet tooth. So yeah, we're going to love it. Thanks so much, Emmanuel, for asking that question. I'm looking forward to heaven. How about you? If you have a question that you want answered, go ahead and send them to us at seedpod@startingwithjesus.com, and we can let you know when your question will be on our program. We are so glad that you joined us today, and we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. Matthew Bridges wrote the words to this hymn, but do you know who wrote the music or the tune for this song? His name was Sir George Elvie. He studied at the Royal Academy of Music and applied to be the organist at St. George's Chapel in Windsor. Did you know that that's the same chapel that Prince Harry and Miss Meghan Markle got married in? Yeah! George Elvie was knighted by Queen Victoria, and after being the organist for 47 years, he finally retired in 1882. He taught music to some of the royals during his time there, too. Do you know another hymn that has the same tune as Crown Him with Many Crowns? It's another song called Soldiers of Christ Arise. It has the same tune. It has different words, but it uses the same tune. It's kind of like the song ABCDEFG and the song Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. They have different words, but they are the same tune. Hi, boys and girls. I'm so glad that you are here with me again today, that we get to continue studying and learning more about Jesus. Before we get started, though, we want to pray and ask Jesus to be with us. Lord, please send your Spirit to be with us. Give us your wisdom, your understanding, your love, and your care. Help us to be more and more like you. We love you. Amen. Last time we talked about Jesus and how he made a promise to the disciples, right? He made a promise that he was going to meet them where? Do you remember? Where was Jesus going to meet? In Matthew chapter 26:32, we learned that Jesus said he would meet his disciples after he rose in Galilee. Well, Jesus' disciples had stayed in Jerusalem until after the Passover week. And when they and Jesus' other friends went back home, they spread the news that Jesus was alive and that he would meet them in Galilee. That's pretty neat that they went home and spread the news, right? They didn't go home and say, oh, hi, honey. Hi, kids. Oh, I missed you so much. Oh, it was so busy in Jerusalem. You know, the Passover. Oh, what's for dinner? Let's sit down and eat. No, they were spreading the news that Jesus was alive. So I can just picture them coming in the house. Hi, dear. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, hey, kids. Mwah. Kisses for all of you. Okay, I gotta run next door because some crazy things happen. I'll tell you all about it at dinner. But I gotta go next door and tell Jonathan and Daniel and Peter and Paul. I gotta go tell them all about what happened at the Passover. Oh, I know. I know. You wanna come too? Dinner's not going to burn, is it? Okay, come on, let's go. Come on, kids. I'll just tell you all at once. Maybe we can just get the whole town together and I'll tell everybody. I can just picture the enthusiasm and excitement that those disciples had. They went back home spreading the news that Jesus was alive. There were a lot of people that ended up gathering together to meet Jesus in Galilee. In fact, the Bible says over 500 in 1 Corinthians. You know, years after this happened, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and told them about what had happened. And so that's how we know that there were over 500. Let's look up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. 1 Corinthians is right after Romans, right? Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We're going to 1 Corinthians, then find chapter 15. And once you find chapter 15, then you're going to read verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6.
After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep.
The people came from different directions. They all were coming together. Do you know why they came from different areas, different directions? So that their enemies, the Jewish priests, wouldn't find out or wouldn't notice them. You know, I live in northern Arizona in the United States of America on the Navajo Indian Reservation. And every year at Christmas time, the Navajo government gives out these Christmas boxes for any of the Navajo for free. So you can always tell when they're giving away these food boxes because there's a huge line of cars, sometimes miles long. You'll be driving along and there are all these cars going along really slow the side of the road in this huge long line. And we have some friends who have waited in that line for 4 hours to get a food box with a turkey and all that stuff. Well, it's really obvious that that's what's happening. We always know when that's happening because we can see the huge line of cars. So I imagine that the disciples and friends of Jesus, they didn't want their enemies to notice it to be too obvious, so they came from different directions and all got together. They gathered in small groups, and you know what? Jesus' disciples went from group to group, telling them about Jesus' resurrection. Some of the people had never even seen Jesus, but they all listened eagerly. Tell us the stories. What happened? Oh, tell us about the miracles that Jesus did. And you say that he died? The priests tried to destroy him and he died on a cross? How was that? That sounds awful. Ooh. Wait, he rose and we get to see him? Oh, that's so exciting. When do you think it'll happen? Like right now? Can you picture all these conversations going on? I can just imagine Thomas coming and telling them about his experience, how he didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead until Jesus appeared to him and he was able to touch his scars and he knew and believed that Jesus was alive. The disciples also told how Jesus had shown them from the scriptures that he was the true Messiah. He was truly the Son of God who had come to our world to save us. It was so sad that the priests and the rulers had not accepted him. But you know what? Just as the people were listening to the disciples, Jesus appeared right then, right there. What did he say? We're going to look and see what he said. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and now read verse 18. So Matthew's that first book in the New Testament, chapter 28. It's actually the last chapter in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, and then we're going to read verse 18. Here's what it says.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."
So what did Jesus say? All what? All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on the earth. He is now in charge completely. Satan is no longer king of this world. Jesus is the king of this world. Now, Jesus is really powerful, isn't he? Did many of those people already know that Jesus was powerful? Yeah, many of them had experienced his power. They had experienced his healing. They had experienced his stories. They had experienced changed hearts because of him. So I want us to think, okay? Jesus says that all power is given to him. He is powerful. He is amazing. He's incredible. I want you to think about a miracle that Jesus has done to show his power in your life. Now, if you can't think of one in your life, then you can think of one just in the Bible where Jesus showed his power. But I want you to think about Jesus and how he's shown his power in your life. Maybe he's helped you to overcome some temptation or sin. Maybe he has worked a miracle and just done something amazing. I want to share with you something that happened to me just a few months ago. Our church decided to do what's called Christmas shoeboxes. Now, many of you have probably heard of Christmas shoeboxes because there's an organization called Operation Christmas Child, and they do shoeboxes for kids all over the world. Well, we wanted to do one for the kids in our community because there are many of these Navajo children who don't get to have a really neat Christmas. So we got online and used social media to connect with people all over North America, and they packed these boxes for these children and sent us the boxes. Now, we were in the middle of a pandemic, and Christmas time is a really bad time to send packages because everyone is sending packages. So the post office gets really backed up and overwhelmed, and it can often take much longer than what it should. But I figured, you know, I'm going to have people sending their boxes a month early. It should be fine, right? Wrong. People would send their boxes when I asked them to, but the boxes would not arrive until 3 to 4 weeks later. That's how long it took for them to go from like Iowa and Michigan and Maryland to get here to Arizona. It took 4 weeks. Well, there were three boxes that I really, really wanted to get to these kids, and they lived a ways away, and I was hoping that they would come in time so that I could get them to them before Christmas. And we prayed about it, and we just had to wait, and I would check the mail every day, and the boxes still weren't there. And you know what? The day that I needed those boxes to come to take them to those kids was the very day that they came in the mail. And you know how long they had been in the mail? Over a month. But they came on the exact day that I needed it to come. Jesus worked a miracle. He made those boxes get there just in time. I bet you can think of a miracle that Jesus has done in your life. And I want to hear about it. Can you ask your mom or your dad or your grandpa or aunt or uncle to, you can either record it and send me an audio recording of it or a video recording, or you can send me a written out letter about your miracle that Jesus has done in your life or in the life of your family. I want to hear about it. Can you do that for me? I want you to send it to me at seedpod@startingwithjesus.com. So you can email it to me. You can either send me an audio file of you telling me the story. You can send me a video of you telling me the story, or you can write it out and get an adult to help you. Or if you're writing, that's awesome. And you can write it out and send it to me. I really want to hear your stories about how Jesus has worked in a powerful way in your life. Jesus said, and he promised, that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. He is given power. He's given authority. Aren't you glad that we can trust Jesus? I know I am. Let's pray and let's thank him. Lord, we are so thankful that you are in control. Because you lived a perfect life and you died for us, that gives you the power and the authority to be king of this world, of this universe. Lord, we want to give you our hearts today. Take them and use them and work in our lives. We love you. Amen.
Acts 1:11.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.